This is Laughs and Littles, a conversation about friendship and faith in the midst of motherhood. Life with littles is better when we do it together, so grab a load of laundry and join us for some laughs.
Take, Lord, and receive all my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own, you have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about a day trip that I took with my husband and Sarah's trip to California to visit her niece and bringing baby Joseph on the plane, inviting older couples to dinner, and Sarah's going to share a bit about the book Good Inside, a book by Dr. Becky Kennedy, A Guide to Becoming the Parent You Want to Be. So Alex and I took a day trip. And it was wonderful. We hired our babysitter for 6 hours, and it was kind of like in place of doing an overnight, which, you know, there's a lot of people who will say like, do an overnight once a year, once every 2 years, and it just does not feel feasible right now. It was just like, this is going to be cheaper and great. And we got up with the kids, did all the morning things. We left from 11 to 5, so we were still there for like morning stuff, and then we were still there for bedtime. So it was lovely. We were gone for Dominic's like good two and a half hour nap. So I felt, because that was like what I was most worried about, right? Was like Dominic is almost one, stranger danger, and like that being the tricky aspect of it. Anyway, so but he was great. And then I also asked my neighbor to take him just for the last hour so the babysitter could like get the kids dinner a little bit more easily. And what I always like forget about these things is how much work it is on the day of to get all the stuff ready and set up, because you're setting up lunch, you're setting up snack, you're setting up instructions for how to heat up the chicken nuggets in the oven. Like you're just like setting so many things out and like writing out so many instructions. We still had, I'm talking about the kids so much more than the actual date, right? Because it was just like, it's a lot to like get ready for. And Alex is, of course, like super grateful and appreciative of that and expressed that. But it was so fun. It's so fun. We only drove like 45 minutes out to like wine country and went to a beautiful winery. But you just feel like you're completely getting out. It's just one of the best ways to just take a breath and get perspective. And we just had like the longest lunch of our life. And we literally just hung out and chatted. And there were like three other people in the whole restaurant because it's like winter and people don't go to wineries in the winter. We were going to go for a, there's like the forest behind this winery. And so we were going to go hike, but we wanted to, you know, we bought a bottle of wine to bring home. And so we went to go put that in the car. And he read for like 20 minutes and I just like took a nap. It was so nice. And oh my goodness, on the way there though, oh my gosh, these are very narrow roads, okay? And we're driving. There's a young woman running on the side of the road, like a crazy person who runs anymore, am I right? And and she's running. We both see it. Too late, but we both see a turtle in the road, and he cannot swerve because he will hit this woman. Nothing can be done, and then you hear the crunch. We look in the mirror, and this young woman has her hands over her face in horror because she was 7 feet away from this dead turtle. You feel so bad, but there's also nothing you can do about it. We just sat there in horror for a while. Oh, God. Oh, sorry. Like, just, I mean, the worst cracking sound you can imagine. It's worse than you would imagine. It was quite awful. I'm so sorry. It was all that could be done. And then we hiked a ton and just took a really long walk through this forest. And it was lovely. And we stopped at like Dollar Tree on the way home because, you know, we wanted to leave enough time home just in case, I don't know, there was traffic. I don't know. We don't have traffic. but we basically had an extra like 16 minutes. So we stopped at a Dollar Tree, picked up like Pringles for the kids because they've never had Pringles. And I was like, wouldn't it be so fun if like we arrive home and they like have a treat, like they'll be, you know, happy and got a few other things, which I was like, oh, like Dollar Tree is so good for random little things that a lot of people would just buy on Amazon, but is so much cheaper. Like I got these miniature little like notebooks, like a whole pack of them for $1 for the kids for have something to write in during mass. And I'm just like, man, like Amazon hikes up these prices so much because of shipping. And anyway, Dollar Tree. So that was fun. Prayed the rosary together. We didn't really have any super formal like family meeting stuff because we do that frequently enough. We literally were just like hanging out. We listened to part of an audiobook on the way home. It was lovely. It was so great.
Sounds so fun. I'm hoping we'll get something just sometime this summer because it'll be our 10-year anniversary.
How long has it been since you guys have done an overnight? Because you guys have done quite a few overnights.
We have. It's usually every summer, but yeah. I think this last summer we did not.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering right, because Joseph was just a fussy baby. Mm-hmm. We took like a day away, or I don't know, we didn't even take a day away. We went out to breakfast and we went out to dinner.
Okay.
On our anniversary. But Joseph was just so annoyingly clingy. Yeah, yeah. He was hard. He was a hard baby that I was like, I am glad we didn't go anywhere because this is not restful.
Yeah.
At all to me. Like this summer.
Yes, but 10 years.
10 years. Yeah, yeah. Crazy. My trip to California.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so lovely. It also felt like just kind of a breath of like, I get kind of fixated on the, you know, overcoming the inertia, like getting out of my normal rhythm of like, okay, I have to get on a plane at like 6 p.m. How is that going to be?
Yeah, that's just hard to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. But the flights actually went much better than I feared. I just kind of imagined Joseph like screaming in the ergo and me not being able to quiet him down.
Yeah.
But he actually slept really well because he was sick. So like as soon as I got to the airport, I realized, oh, he has the cold that other kids had. Mm-hmm. And like on the plane, I was like, he has a fever. So he was very like happy to be in the ergo and sleep. And I was like, this is, and then actually through that night, I don't know, it was kind of like, I don't know if he would have been sleeping well at home anyway. And like, what a gift or the grace is like, he is my only baby right now. So I'm able to like hold him. I have to hold him for 6 hours on the plane and then like snuggle with him at night, which I never do, but it just like worked. And I was like, actually, you're much easier to travel with when you're sick. Like, this is sad and nice. But now I'm sick. Now I have the cold. Walking once I was there and I was like seeing people, I was just like, wow, I'm on vacation. Like I only have one baby. I have no plans, no responsibilities except for this baby. I'm just here to eat food with people and like meet my adorable niece who, I mean, that was the bummer of like bringing a sick baby to visit the newborn was we had to like, I had to, you know, kind of distance myself and Joseph from her and no, did not want to give her a fever.
Yeah.
But I think she's good. So feel good about that. But so got to spend time with my nephew who's 2, who is so adorable. Like from the photo stream, I know I picked up on the fact that he's delightful, but I was like, he's even more delightful in person. Aww. He's just like so great. And it's fun to be around the oldest child too. And like, remember what, I don't know, I was kind of like, what was 2-year-old Evangeline like? Like so many adults talking to this 1 2-year-old of like, your life is so different from my current 2-year-old John, you know, like, it was great to be with my sister and her husband and his parents who are just like the sweetest people. They're like so cheerful about, anyway, they picked me up from the airport. They drove me back to the airport and they were just like, oh, we get airport duty. Great. And I was like, thank you. Like, they were genuine. Like, and Michelle was like, I just bought these new shoes. Do you want to try them on? And like, I walked 10 miles in these shoes and I was like, these shoes are amazing. And then I bought myself a pair because I like needed new running shoes anyway. And I'm like, you've convinced me, like, these are the best.
What are the shoes? Are they Brooks?
They're not. I've branched out from Brooks to Hokas.
Okay.
Have you heard of these?
No.
Apparently they appeal to the very old and the very young. So I'm like channeling my inner, not the very old, but I'm channeling my inner like 65-year-old woman.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
But also high schoolers. Like my dad's kids that he coaches for track like them also. They're very cushy.
Nice.
Which is...
My Brooks are very cushy. I feel like I'm walking on a cloud.
Nice.
Although I also had my last tennis shoes for 9 years.
So my last tennis shoes, the ones I wore and got injured in, were like random Nikes from Buy Nothing in South Bend.
Yeah. Yeah. We're too old to do that.
I went for a walk in them, and by the end of the walk, my feet hurt. And yeah. I was like, I think I'm done with these shoes. This is too much.
Yeah.
And my parents and I got to go out to breakfast together and have a good conversation and walk around campus together. It just was like, felt like very rich time of just like able to just savor people's company. And my really good friend from college, got to see her, who's Kiara's godmother. Oh, but the funny thing, oh my gosh. So one afternoon I was sitting outside with Maya and Rob hanging out, and I was like, oh, well, we're just sitting here chatting. I could cut Joe's fingernails. Like, could I borrow some fingernail clippers? First attempt, I like snip the top of his finger, and there's just blood everywhere.
No.
Blood everywhere. And I was wearing like a Patagonia fleece that Sarah Koo, who I was staying with, let me borrow. And I got like blood on her fleece.
Oh my gosh.
Trying to get Band-Aids on this wiggly baby's bloody thumb was so, and he was just like crying, and I was like, sorry guys, like shouldn't have tried to do that. And then the next day when I was hanging out with Molly and my friend Age, he did the biggest poop of his entire life. Like the blowout.
It sounded like you were talking about your friend first.
Oh no.
At first it sounded like you were
The baby pooped. It was so gross. It was like I had to take his shirt off and put it in a bag, that kind of bad.
Yeah.
And it, like,
yeah.
I was just like, wow, blood. So messy. This baby is so, and the boogers.
Yeah.
She's like, wow, you are, and the eye goop. It was like, you are a mess, Joe.
Oh my gosh. And, poor baby.
But it still felt easy because.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's just one.
One baby. Oh man.
You said on your stories, California, the dream. And I just like can't with that.
I know. I meant like the weather. The weather.
Yeah.
Walking around campus, we like parked. And I just had this like very odd not nostalgic. I had this overwhelming sense of like, wow, college is wasted on the young. It was so like, that is what it is. Like, that is what it's for.
Yeah.
But like, how much was totally lost on me and like my self-absorption and like whatever. Like, there's this extremely beautiful art museum on campus that I like maybe went to once because I was like taken there by a class. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I could have spent like a whole day just like, I don't know, just like there's so much art and beauty here that it just was like, over my head, don't care. And now I'm like, wow, I just want to like sit in this, like these Rodin sculptures, just stare at this for half an hour. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, why don't we go to college when we're 30?
Well, some people do. Alex is planning on it. Yeah, we have the new art museum at Notre Dame. It's huge.
Oh,
did I tell you about this?
There's a new one?
Yeah. No, it just opened in the last, like, I don't know, 3 months, I believe. It's like 3 stories high, and it's like across from, or it's like very close to the architecture building. And Alex and I spent like an hour and 15 minutes there a couple weeks ago, and we saw like a portion of it.
Cool.
Yeah. It's amazing. I would love to bring the kids and teach them a little bit of just like, this is how you walk through a museum. this is how you look at art. Don't say this. Don't say this. Don't, like, be weird when you see a nude statue. Like, you know, like, just, like, teach them those, like, basic things. So I'm not sure if that's, like, an everyone thing or, like, a one or two kids at a time kind of thing. I don't know.
Okay. Tell me about inviting older couples to – well, you have told me about inviting older couples to dinner. But this is not something I ever do. So
yeah, I mean, I think about it just in the realm of getting out of your comfort zone of building up your church community, of like actually getting to, you know, talk to people who are in a completely different stage of life. And the only way for you to really hang out with those people are, it is like, from my perspective, is to invite them over. Because like, what are you going to invite yourself over to their house? Your kids are going to like break all their trinkets. Like, that's no good. And what are you going to like go out somewhere with them? No. So we've done this with several people. Like, I can think of two couples most pronounced. And the one couple one time, they're not old, but they have grandkids. Okay. So, but we invited them over for, not for dinner, but for like to come hang out with us and play a card game after the kids were in bed, because like they don't have to get a sleep sitter, you know. Yeah. Like they can just come over, and we didn't have to, the kids were a little bit younger then, so we felt like it would just kind of be crazy, and I think we weren't used to hosting dinners as much then, and we just like played cards and chatted, and it was so fun. And then most randomly, I think it was like 6 months ago, there's this couple at church, you know, grandparent age, early grandparents, and saw them enough times at church, just like, you know, hi and peace be with you, and little chatter. And I was just like, I like don't seem like they have any family in town, or at least no family that's coming with them to church. And later I found out, yeah, like they don't have family in town, and they just like seem really nice. Like, I would love to chat with them, and invited them over. Did I just like, she was behind me and I was like, I would love to invite you over for dinner. Like, can I have your email? And, you know, and we figured it out, and it was very casual and very fun. And just to like hear, we just asked them like, what's your, you know, how'd you guys meet? Like, how'd you guys end up here? And hearing their story is beautiful. And we're not like hanging out, like we're not going to hang out again. Like probably nothing, but it was just like, oh, so lovely. And now we know each other a lot better, and we know our parish community better because of that. So just like a thought of, if you like want to have more people in your life, especially grandparent age, you can invite them to your house. Like, they would probably love to come. They understand that, like, if you've got kids, that your life is going to be like crazy and messy and beautiful. That's fine. So just like literally inviting people over, it like feels slightly awkward. How do you get to know people? And it's like dating. It's always just like dating people and dating friends. And
I like the idea of playing cards.
Yeah.
After dinner. Because then you're guaranteed a real time to talk.
Right. And like, what are you doing?
If that's what you really want. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. So you're reading this book.
So I'm reading this book called Good Inside. Mm-hmm. I've just been thinking about it a lot. I'm basically done with it. It has been helping me. Okay, so my main takeaways, but I still want you to read it because I think you won't like it, but I also, I think there are some things that overlap with Jamie Glow Wacky, I think.
Okay.
So there are things that I think you would like about it. I mean, you and I are both not into the parenting labels, right? But this book definitely falls in the like gentle parenting category.
Okay.
But her whole thing is like empathizing and also holding the boundary. So she's not.
That's great.
I mean, if she were advocating like be a total pushover, no one would read this book, right? So I resonate a lot with the like looking at behavior as a window into the emotion underneath. Mm-hmm. Like, what this behavior is signaling something to me. What is going on for you here? How can I approach it with like...
Can I ask, is there like an age group in mind for this? Because I'm not interested in hearing that it's below the age of two.
No. Most of her examples are like 4 to 8 year olds.
Just verifying.
Yeah. I mean, I think her philosophy, she would advise you to apply it to younger kids, but I was not thinking about younger kids as I was reading it. I'm thinking mostly about Zaylee. But then this parenting thing played out with Evange as I was reading it, where she snuck chocolate from the cupboard.
Mm-hmm. Wait, tell that story.
Oh, okay. So Chris and I had a box of chocolates we were slowly working through. One night
I don't know this story at all. Do you?
Okay.
You have not told me this. No. You're saying it like I know, but so.
Okay. Couldn't remember if I'd followed you.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, we realized that some were missing because they were in pairs and we were eating them in pairs. And like all of a sudden it was like, wait, where did these go? We suspected Evange. And I was like, she's gonna deny it. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, okay, so what's like our consequence going to be? And Chris was like, let's ask her to write us a letter of apology. Mm-hmm. I was like, she's going to have a really hard time with that. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. He was thinking like a full one page have her like look at the 10 commandments, like, honor your mother and father. Do not lie. And I was like,
do not steal.
This is do not steal. This is too much. Like, she's just going to melt down and be like.
My first thought was like, just confronting her about it is like punishment enough. Like, we're tacking on a whole nother. But
So yes. So I ask her about it in a calm moment. She denies it. Mm-hmm. She said something like, I know the box you're talking about, but I didn't take any.
I didn't eat one of them. I didn't eat three of them.
It was like four. She ate like four. So I check in with Zaylee and Kiara at another point just to like double check, but they seem like they really don't know what I'm talking about. So I was like, okay, so it is a Evange. So I come back to it at a later point and I was like, hey, remember what I asked you about the chocolates? I kind of like point to like, you know, the cupboard. I was like, do you have any idea now of like where they went? And she was like, no. And I was like, okay, the book talks about too, like the parent validating, empathizing, holding the firm boundary. So I was like, cause I would understand if you took them. Like, I know you really love sweets and we hardly ever have sweets in our house. And immediately she like softened and was like, yeah, I took them. I was like, wow. So I think that was just like a flip kind of light bulb moment for me of like, yeah, my instinct would have been to kind of dig my heels in and be like, I know you're lying to me right now. Like, you took them. Yeah, just tell me the truth. Because what I care about is honesty and like, you know, I don't know, you know, like kind of freak out and like blow it up into a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of followed through on like, because we had this idea about the apology. So I was like, well, Dad, those were our chocolates and like we were enjoying them. Could you write us a letter of apology for taking them? And of course, she did have a hard time with it. She wrote sorry in all caps. I was like, could you just write like a little, like, you know how to write an apology.
Yeah.
We say apologies all the time. Just write it out. You can do it. So she did. Still very curt, short. And I was like, okay. But I was feeling like all this angst from that of like how I had to like extract that from her and how she was so unwilling. And then I was like kind of spiraling about that of like, and then as I kept reading the book, what did it help me see? I just started thinking like, okay, what is missing here? Like, what is missing for her in like, how we are feeling disconnected in some way. And like, what is this impulse to like, why didn't she feel like she could come and ask me for chocolate? Mm-hmm. Because I always say no. And then why is she like, why would she deny it when I ask her? And the book talked about that like exact situation basically of like being stuck in shame of like, if you're like trying to get your kid to apologize and they just like won't apologize, or you're trying to get your kid to admit like the truth and they just will not, of like this feeling of being stuck in shame. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, I see that. Anyway, but it was just like, okay, I want to be the kind of parent that like, she can come and tell me anything. And like, I want to get to the, we're going to be talking about like much stickier things mm-hmm. soon. So I don't know. The book was also emphasized, it's never too late, and like repair. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily apologizing, but like circling back to hard or sticky moments and kind of mm-hmm. layering on connection and like empathy and whatever mm-hmm. afterwards to kind of like help change the memory even that the kid has of what happened. Like, mm-hmm. oh, my parent does understand me. Like mm-hmm. my parents, I'm not alone in these feelings. Like I can normalize it. And a lot of this might be, it almost like felt like therapy for me while I was reading it, because it talks mm-hmm. about like multiplicity within yourself, like recognizing the different mm-hmm. parts of you and kind of like naming it and saying like, all right, blame or guilt, like you're popping up, but like, I'm going to ask you to step back, and like curiosity is going to come over here, and like empathy, we're going to like, you're going to take the reins. Just kind of like that kind of like self talk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, these are helpful tools to add to my toolkit mm-hmm. of parenting. Mm-hmm. But then when I was in California, she did it again.
Honestly, sugar is, haven't they proved that sugar is like as addictive as cocaine?
Yes. So that's what I am really seeing that now. And I'm able to like empathize with that more of like, mm-hmm. this kid has such a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
And yeah. I tend to give her a hard time about it. And I'm trying to now be more like, all right, when there is opportunity for treat, I know Evangeline would really super appreciate a treat, mm-hmm. even an extra treat. Let's mm-hmm. just like lay it on her here. So mm-hmm. she knows like there are times when I will say yes. And yeah, it's not yeah. just like, cause I was thinking about you like baking cookies randomly. I am not a baker. Like I had the opportunity to bake something. I baked bread. I was like, I don't want to bake cookies. I don't enjoy baking cookies. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just want people to give me cookies. But I was like, yeah, realizing to Evangeline from her perspective, mm-hmm. can't, and then it's coming up again with Easter where I will just hit my limit and I just take all the candy. And so she's probably getting to the point where she's like, she's just yes. going to steal all my candy. Like it's mine yes. and she steals it. And I'm like, okay.
With the code LAUGHSANDLITTLES10, you can get 10% off your entire purchase at chooselife.com.
So new in their shop right now is the Spirit Stretch and Wrap Rosary Bracelet. It's red, Spirit for the Holy Spirit, Pentecost and Confirmations coming up. Really beautiful.
I really like how the three Hail Marys are also brown and just kind of offset from it. But also this bracelet and all their bracelets include a bookmark crucifix medal, which is movable and can help you just like keep track of it where you are at in your rosary as you pray it throughout your day. With the code LAUGHSANDLITTLES10, you can get 10% off your entire purchase at chooselife.com.
I don't know. We gotta keep talking about this, but and so that afternoon, Chris was like, all right, you did it again. Like, you can't go play outside with the neighbors who are like, he like grounded her essentially. Yeah. Like you can't play outside. And they were gonna watch Harry Potter tonight that night together, and he's like, we can't do that tonight.
Whoa. Yeah.
She had a real time with that. But he circled back to it. He was doing all this on his own. And he was like, yeah, he was like everyone was taking turns to like have a tantrum and have a meltdown. And he was like,
absolutely.
Yeah. But now I've been really thinking about it with Zaylee, like her rudeness and disrespect, quote unquote, when she gets home from school, which I've kind of relabeled in my mind as like, why were balloons going in?
I have no idea what just happened. Balloons just flew past your face and I wasn't going to say anything. But holy smokes.
Is it when I do this? It's when I do the pink thing. That's so funny. Okay, I've heard that if you do like emojis, the emojis will pop up. This happened to me. Okay, anyway. I relabeled it in my mind as like she is feeling prickly, like it's like a hedgehog mm-hmm. with its spines mm-hmm. her spines are up and like it takes her a while to settle back down mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the transition home from school.
Yeah,
the other day I was sick and I was like still reading my book in bed and I hadn't gotten the snacks out And she got home. I like heard the door and I was like, oh no. And like a second later, I just hear a scream of like, yeah. Where are the stairs? I'm here. Here I am. I will get the snacks now. Anyway, and then just seeing like once she settles down, we have some kind of connection time. We've been playing Wordle together on my phone.
Cute.
And then she's like, I'm ready to play. And she's been like, this switch has flipped in the last, maybe it'll be gone next week, but it's just like this new developmental edge I'm seeing from her of like, all of a sudden an interest in John and like other little kids of like, John, do you want to play this game with me? Do you want to do this, John? John, can I like take you over here? Okay. When you're done with that snack, John, we can come and go and do this. And I'm just like, who are you? Like,
yeah.
Wow. And helping me with dinner. And she was like, okay, what's today? Tuesday. Okay. Every Tuesday, I'm going to help you make dinner.
Like, yeah.
Okay. just like these, it was like, this is a gift in this week when I'm feeling sick and kind of seeing like, all right, some of this parenting work maybe is, you know, like these kids are going to be okay. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it's okay for my 8-year-old to, I don't know. I was like, is this just an 8-year-old thing? But anyway,
normal. No. So what do you think I would dislike about the book the most?
The chapter on sleep. which is at the very end of the whole book.
Well, Jamie Gawacki says a lot of stuff. Like Jamie Gawacki's pitch on sleep is like, you guys can sleep however you want, whoever, wherever, as long as everyone in the household is super happy about it. Like if mom and dad are sleeping separately because dad's sleeping with this kid and mom's sleeping with this kid or whatever, dad has to be thrilled about that and mom has to be thrilled about that. And like you still need good sleep hygiene, and she gets into that. So like I think there is room for like lots of different possibilities if you have good qualifiers.
Hers is way more focused on the kid, so it's like your kid feels attachment issue, you know, like okay. the separation of night and like the slowly weaning them away from your presence. I do like her. I feel like her analogies of like she'll make these analogies between. You know, a kid whining or a kid being disrespectful or rude to put yourself, like think about times when you are whining or you are being really rude. And if your spouse were to be like, that's really disrespectful, like get out of here, how you would feel.
And
to be like, oh, if they approach me as like, wow, you're not usually like this. What's going on here? Like you must've had a really hard day. Do you want to tell me about it? Just like the breath that gives you of like, oh, it did have a hard day. Or like, I am a good person. Like, you know, that has helped me. That just kind of reframing has helped me. But I was like, I think, I don't know, like a pure gentle parent would take it maybe like, I don't take it as far. I don't apply that in every situation. Right. Like,
sure.
I will let my baby cry in their bed and I leave the room. Whereas like, I probably wouldn't want to be left crying in my bed, but I'm going to do that. Yeah. So also trying to think through like, how does this work with 5 kids? Cause the author has 3 kids. Mm-hmm. So there is like an element of juggling. Yeah. If she had 1 kid and were writing this, I'd be like, I don't know if I can take any of this like actually playing out, but I don't know. I feel like enough resonates with me about like emotional stuff and like how we self think and how can we sort through our emotions that I feel like there's some good nuggets for me to hold on to of like connecting first, validating, empathizing, and then like letting the kid feel what they're feeling. But
sure,
like,
sure. I just saw a video today on Instagram of this dad who like he's walking into the house. The 2 or 3-year-old's there, and as he's opening the door, he accidentally spills like a bottle of water or whatever all over her head, right on top of her head. And he instantly, so bad, such bad parenting. He obviously feels bad, but he doesn't want to feel bad. He doesn't want to sit in the emotions. Of course, she cries. He goes, oh, it's okay. You're okay. Accidents happen. Okay, let's go inside. Like, it's like, let's, like, I don't want to. I'm coming home after a long day. Like, I don't have time for these emotions. And I'm just like, no, Dad. I mean, even, like, yeah, just teaching your kids to just identify what they're feeling and have that emotional intelligence is such a huge and powerful gift. But you know, parenting is so nuanced. It's so nuanced. Relationships are so nuanced. And I am convinced we live in a day and age, especially with social media, of here's this hack, here's this hack, here's this life-changing thing. Like, even with me talking about, like, having older people over to your home, like, this is not life-changing. You do not need to do this. It's just, like, something cool we've done and really enjoyed. And, like, all of these things that we're learning, like, you and I read so many different parenting books and resources on these things and podcasts because, like, there's so much to learn. And in every situation and family circumstance and child, like, it's going to be different. So yeah, we're just like always collecting these tools for our toolbox and trying to understand our kids better and trying to, you know, figure out when do you hold space? When do you do the boundary? When do you, like, this morning at breakfast, Clara was having a hard time and I had her come sit on my lap and eat for 5 minutes, which felt like so weird because she's like 8 next week and she was huge on me. Like, I can't see. And, but she just loved that so much and felt like so much better. And then like went and sat in her own space and it was like truly fine. And because I'm like learning to, yeah, like see her more and see what she needs and take more time. Anyway, just like, this is all very nuanced and people don't like nuance. People want like, what do I do in this situation? And yeah. You know, what do I say? And it's like, we got to learn. And,
oh, that's the part that overlaps with Jamie Glowacki too, is the like idea of connection time, like fill your bucket mm-hmm. kind of thing of like, mm-hmm. this behavior is signaling something, but also make a mental note of like, I need to get some special time with this kid, or I need to just, whatever that is, like, I need to just sit and read a book with this kid or mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. she calls it play no phone, like PNP time, where it's like, I am putting distractions and my phone away, mm-hmm. 10, 15 minutes with you. What do you want to do? Play-Doh? Mm-hmm. Great. Here we go. I was like, yeah, because that just resonates as true. I have mm-hmm. lived that out of like, kids do better. We do better together when we get those little pockets of time.
Does she talk about like eating and basic needs? And
she has a chapter on eating.
Because I feel like people so often talk so much more about the emotional stuff and the where it's like kids need more sleep and they need more real food and they need less carby snacks. And like, I would love to see more people talking about that.
Yeah. That's definitely not the focus of this book.
Yeah.
She has them in there like little mm-hmm. chapters, but
yeah,
more about, it's more about the parents knowing like, what is your job and what is the kid's job?
Yeah.
And stay in your lane, kind of, which I think.
But not in your bed.
What?
But not in your bed. It's a metaphorical lane.
Yeah, Azalee, it was so funny. She was like, can you just lay here in my bed? Because I don't like your bed. It's just too big and too hot. And I was like, I think we both like our own beds. Isn't that great? I'm going to go sleep in my bed. Okay. What's your laugh of the week?
It's a naughty thing that Cecilia does, who's 4 and a half, but it's funny because whenever she is late for something or getting distracted by something, whatever it may be, and you remind her, she just gets angry and she'll say like, ugh, like, Paul is extracting me right now though. And I'm just like, not even gonna tell her how to say it correctly because it's kind of like so cute. And
we hope you have a great week with lots of laughs with your littles.